I want to share our journey really on the issue of government and what God's doing in the kingdom. And about a lot of years ago, many years ago now, God gave me four words: investiture, succession, enthronement, and coronation. Now, I know that those words are all to do with, you know, monarchy and what happens. An investiture is when the Prince of Wales gets invested and then he's ready to succeed if the Queen ever died, if she ever does. or abdicates, she'll never do that. But there's a succession and an enthronement and a coronation. So I understood from a technical terms what that was about, but God really impressed this on my heart. So I've really, over the last sort of, I guess, 10 years, really been looking to outwork this. And it's been a long journey to discover the meaning and the outworking of those words from a perspective of what God is doing in the kingdom. And each of those words has a meaning governmentally. It's about authority. And the kingdom of God is the place where, or the sphere where God rules and he reigns. You know, we tend to think of the kingdom by the works that the kingdom does, because the kingdom is at hand, rather than what the kingdom is itself. And we see people getting healed and miracles and things like that, and we think that's the kingdom. That's the outworking of the kingdom. The kingdom is the place of government. And so the kingdom is in us, it's within us, and it's to be around us, and at hand through us, as in our lives. So each of those words actually has an individual meaning for us when we come into who we are in terms of our destiny in God. But also there's a corporate meaning in terms of the government that God has for his people. And on a global scale, that has a meaning as well, which is quite significant where we are prophetically right now in the kingdom. So we can be invested with authority and destiny as sons of God. Every one of us is. God has already given us that before the foundation of the world with our spirit, has invested us with a position of governmental authority as his sons. And the whole of this created order actually is waiting for us to be released and revealed into that positions of sonship. But there must be a succession or an abdication if there's going to be an enthronement. And therefore, we need to deny ourselves, take up the cross and follow him from a perspective individually. But corporately, we need to see a whole change of order in terms of government and how things operate within the kingdom. So enthronement takes place in heaven. Now, when I first saw these words years ago, I didn't even realize that you could go to heaven and engage heaven now other than when you die. But now, actually, we can all go there. And it's a place where we can all go and be given the place of authority that we have as sons of God in different realms of heaven. But coronation actually takes place on earth as it is in heaven. So there's a on-earth reflection of what's already gone in heaven that God wants to bring us into. Isaiah 2:2 says, "And now it will come about that in the last days the mountain of the house of the Lord." Now the mountain is the place of authority, a symbol of authority in the Bible, and of the house of the Lord, of God's people, and it will be established as chief of the mountains. Now we know that this is going to take place, where God's people are raised up above all the other authorities that there are, because we're going to carry the answer to the kingdom and have the authority and the power to release God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And it says, actually, it will be raised above all the mountains, above all the hills, and all the nations will stream to it, and many peoples will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord." That's what God is looking for. He's looking for a people who will embrace that destiny. Isaiah 9:6 says, "For a child will be born to us," we know that's Jesus, "a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders." Now, if Jesus is the head and we're the body, where's the government going to rest? On the shoulders of his body. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace. So this kingdom will continue to increase and expand, whether it goes from this planet out into the solar system, out into the whole of the created order. It is going to increase to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness. Because this is the kingdom that God wants to bring the righteousness and justice from. So corporately, we've been looking at, you know, how the church is governed from a heavenly perspective. Matthew 6:10 says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So there can be no kingdom on earth unless it's established in heaven first. Now, we used to think that God used to do all the establishing in heaven first. But now we actually realize that he's called us to go into heaven and do the establishing of the kingdom there so it can be outworked through our lives, whether individually or corporately on earth as it's done there. So we're invested with authority and destiny as sons of God to carry his government. Now, there has been a succession. The old pastoral earthly order has ended. I'm going to explain what that means. But that means the way we actually bring the kingdom and establish it on earth has changed from what it used to be. There has been enthronement that's taken place. And we've seen that individually. We've also done that corporately. And we're going to recognize that today in terms of coronation to actually see that what's already taken place in heaven is going to be reflected on the earth. We are involved in a prophetic timetable. We're at a place where the judgment of God is released on the household of God, which God is just actually saying, this is what looks like me and this what doesn't. That's what judgment means, a decision, a verdict. And that verdict is passed. And God is looking for those who are going to look like him to come and inhabit, because there is a harvest coming. And we need to be ready for that harvest. I prophesied this at the beginning of the year. It says, in August, I will begin, and this is what God was saying, in August, I will begin to leave the institutions of the old earthly religious systems. My presence in the new order, patterned after the blueprints of heavenly government, will transition to glory. And it means God is coming in a new way. I'm calling the Joshua generation to follow me out of the wilderness of the old order into true destiny as sons, invested with heavenly authority and ready, prepared for enthronement. And this was at the beginning of the year. We've already seen this take place when we came together later on. Now we're going to actually see this fulfilled today. So for the new to be enthroned, there must be a succession. The old must die for the new to be multiplied. Now, I believe we're at a crucial point in history. And I think we must be ready for what's coming. We must have a heavenly kingdom government in place if we're going to see the fulfillment of what God wants. 40 years ago, a prophet released a sound out of heaven, and he called that sound, and it was for a billionfold soul harvest. A billionfold harvest. That's a lot of people, probably 20% or so of the world population. And now everyone thought that would be the harvest, and that is just the harvesters, the laborers for the harvest field. And it's coming. And it was a call to raise up a Joshua generation of supernatural mentors, but actually that's not what took place. What took place was trying to get a whole lot of young people saved. And it wasn't about young people being saved. It was about raising up mentors for that harvest to prepare them. It was a call to spy out our supernatural inheritance beyond the veil in heaven. Now, that was 40 years ago. It was a call to be ready to mentor the coming harvest. And actually, that generation is almost past. And it hasn't been fulfilled because they missed the point. In that 40 years, we've seen an increase in the Holy Spirit being experienced through dreams, visions, ecstatic encounters, heavenly encounters. Why? Because God has been calling us to wake up, to arise out of our sleep, and to start to shine, to be restored to heavenly government and authority. And that 40 years has been, you know, when I think back, you know, I've been a Christian all that time. You know, and it's been a huge change over that 40 years in my own personal experience. And for most of our experiences have been Christians that long. The last 40 years has been a huge change in what God's doing. For those of you who just become Christians, you're just coming into something which is so different from what we experienced 40 years ago. You know, I mean, things have changed dramatically in those 40 years. You know, in 2012, I prophesied a 3-year period of preparation was beginning. And I just thought I was just prophesying in terms of here. But in reality, this was a change that took place globally. And the end of that 40-year generation is on the 8th of August 2015, this year. The end of an old generation and beginning of a new. So this is a very, very significant point in history. The end of an old order and the beginning of a new. The Joshua generation living according to the order of Melchizedek. And this is the year of the lion, a kingly order where government is going to be established. So 2012 marks the beginning of the end of the old, if you know what I mean. And it marked a call from heaven. And there was this sound that came out of heaven, this symbol. There was this deep calling to deep. God was calling his people deeper and deeper into intimacy and relationship. And in 2012, a guy called Mark Verkler, who's written a really good book about hearing the voice of God and a manual, and he's got lots of material. And he released a book called When Heaven Touches Earth. And he sent me a copy in draft form by email. I've never met the guy, so I guess God engineered it in some way for me to receive this book. And in this book, it was about heavenly encounters and the angelic realm and the spiritual realm being normal to the church. And what he was looking for is 95 leaders to sign this book as a declaration of a new era. Just like Martin Luther had 95 theses for the reformation of the church pinned to the Wittenberg, is it Wittenberg church door in Germany a long time ago as a reformation of the church, this was a new reformation. And I signed it and sent it back, and then I got a copy of it sent with my name in it and 95 other leaders, some very well-known leaders, who signed this to declare that there, as a prophetic act, that there was a whole reformation of the church coming. This was the beginning of that call for reformation, a call for the judgment of the old religious institutions of men, a call for the true ecclesia of God to arise. Now, Ian Clayton, who stated the 20th of December 2012 marked the end of the apostolic or the old fivefold ministry order and the beginning of the reformation of the church into the ecclesia of God. The ecclesia of God gathered around a blueprint for dominion, for rule, for government, and that is the true position of heavenly and earthly authority that God wants the church to have. The mountain of the house of the Lord raised up above all the other authorities. And Bob Jones, who prophesied that billionfold harvest, this is 1975, there was a whole generation to respond. And in that time, the prophetic and the apostolic orders were released onto the earth, but they failed to equip people to engage heaven. They actually prophesied for people rather than equipping people to hear God for themselves. They brought blueprints and things out of heaven, but didn't teach people how to go to heaven and get their own. And they were amazing stewards and miracle workers. And we've seen an amazing generation, but they failed to equip the people. They built Moses' ministries rather than equipping a Joshua generation. They created mediatorial dependent people because they sat on top of the mountain rather than being the foundation. So Moses' generation built mountains of ministry under the cloud of anointing rather than equip people to engage God in the cloud. And God has judged that and found it wanting. So they produce covering ministries rather than foundational floors to release living stones into their destiny. Now, that's what the judgment is about. That old order of government is ended. So building in the wilderness rather than preparing a generation of forerunners to go in and spy out the land beyond the veil. You know, 20 years ago, the only person I knew went in heaven was a guy called Ian McCormack, who died of a box jellyfish sting and then came back with a testimony of that he'd gone into heaven. Now you hear testimonies all the time of people going into heaven. Great things have changed because God has been calling people to enter in. Because we need to be ready to mentor the harvest that's coming so that we can equip people into their supernatural inheritance. We know that's what God has called us to do here. He's called us to be a place of equipping and mentoring to train people into their heavenly position as sons. Now, in 2005, I had a vision of a mountain. This mountain was raised up out of the desert, and when I looked down from above, I saw on the top of this mountain a sort of pyramid-shaped thing, but I thought it looked like a boxing ring. And it was a boxing ring because it recognized a battle for church government, the pastoral versus the apostolic. Now, the last 10 years, we've been suffering in that battle. And I'm glad to say that that battle is over as far as we're concerned. And that's why we're doing what we're doing today. But it's a challenge that's still going around the world where the leadership and the establishing of the kingdom has been challenged. And the new order that was set up is the lion, the ox, the eagle, and the man. Priestly, kingly, and apostolic and prophetic government. That's the order of Melchizedek. That's the new order that God is establishing. Rather than the old fivefold ministry orders that operate on the earth, this is a heavenly order. And that ministry mandate is to reflect the four faces of God on the earth. So all of us can reflect the fullness of that. But God has called us to establish that government. Now, we've had to establish a culture of honor to actually outwork that battle. And it's been really hard, hasn't it, dear? I point to my wife over there because we struggle with this because she comes from a very mercy pastoral perspective and I come from a very apostolic perspective. And we are always in conflict, not knowing and understanding why, because we just saw things from a completely different perspective. But actually, in that period of time, we've learned to come together. Because the culture of honor works within an apostolic framework where we respect, value, and honor each person. Each person's spiritual or redemptive gift, their calling, their destiny is honored, but in the context of a heavenly rather than earthly perspective. So there needs to be a commitment to love and openness and honesty, which is we've had to work through over and over and over again, and it's been really, really hard work. And it's been a challenge to actually work that stuff through and find new ways of being able to help each other and to encourage each other to establish what God's doing. But what it's done is to empower the church to release people to go for it. It's like everyone here has the authority and the permission to go for your destiny, you know, because God has called you as sons of God to go for it. So essentially, we've seen a priestly and kingly heavenly alignment, which produces an ark, and then an apostolic and a prophetic foundation on the earth, which produces a reflection of heaven on earth. And therefore, what that looks like governmentally is God has a blueprint for everything, for your life, for each ecclesia, each church, each city of refuge, each city, each region, each nation, the whole world, the universe. He has a blueprint. And when the government of God, the bench of three, Father, Son, and Spirit in heaven, shine on that blueprint, from their place of authority, it produces a shadow on the earth. Now, what must happen to occupy that shadow is a reflection of heaven. So you need a bench of three on the earth as a foundation in our own life, spirit, soul, and body, but also in the church, city, region, nation, needs to establish the government of God foundationally, not on top. So the Moses generation have had heavenly blueprints, and they've seen a shadow, but what they've done is built a mountain on top of it. And that means that you can never go above who's on top of the mountain. Whereas if you are on the bottom, it releases people outwards, rather than sits on top as mediators. Because if someone's on top of a mountain, how can you go to God directly? You have to go through those who are on top of the mountain. And that is the old order that God has judged and found wanting. Because God wants everybody to engage heaven and God themselves without anyone in between. See, the old covenant system was mediatorial. You had a prophet, priest, and a king that represented you for God, between God and you. Jesus is our mediator in heaven, and he's inviting all of us to come into that place. So this has ended. God, through a very interesting prophetic guy, told us to prepare the house for glory and to rewire the house. And that was to rewire the church and our lives to prepare for what God was going to do, so that we can be that shadow or reflection of God on earth, so that he can fully occupy us individually and corporately. But we're responsible for the revelation we've been given. And we need to be aligned to the revelation that God's given us, so that in this we've been forerunners. And it's been really hard being a forerunner, you know, because you haven't got any map or anywhere to follow. You just have to seek God and continue to engage God as he leads you. So a blueprint, and we talk a lot about blueprints, is an architect's plan to guide what shape to build. Each blueprint has the heart and the destiny and the vision and the purpose for that building. Now, you can have a blueprint for a supermarket, a university, shopping mall, whatever. So I'm come from the US for 3 weeks, so I can use shopping mall. But you have blueprints for all sorts of things. So we need to know, what is our blueprint? What is a blueprint for our life? So what does the scroll of our life tell us that we should be and who we are as sons of God, but a blueprint for every church, every city of refuge, every area. So we have a blueprint that guides and directs what we do and how we do it. So that helps us know what to do and how we do it. Now that's our blueprint as a ministry here. We have God established this for us, and we have a bench of three that looks to administer that on the earth, a bench of seven that functions within the area of the church, and a bench of 12 that looks after our seven mountains, which are around the outside, and the ministries that we have that outwork what we're called to do. That's our blueprint. And to simplify it, it looks like a bench of three, a bench of seven, seven mountain spheres, and 12, bench of 12, which encompasses the government of it all. So in the early church and in the Hebrew system of government, there was the ecclesia or kahal, and needed 10 to form a house around a blueprint. That mean a bench of three, which is heavenly government, a bench of seven to bring priestly agreement between heaven and earth. Now, there was one role in that, which was called the angel of the house. Now, this is not something that I've heard anyone else teach, but God gave this by revelation when I was in the US last year, in terms of how this functions. And when you read in Revelation that they sent a letter to the angel of the house, we tend to think of, well, it must be a real angel. Well, yes, we have an angel of the house here, and there are angels. But actually, there was a title of one of the people of the seven, which was the angel of the house, to carry apostolic perspective to ensure that the seven didn't get waylaid by pastoral issues. Now, we've struggled with that because of the battle between the pastoral and the apostolic. Because pastoral issues are really important, but they need to be done in a priestly way, engage in heaven to bring solutions, to bring the government of God to be outworked amongst us as we outwork our vision. And all of that needs to operate within the four faces of God, the order of Melchizedek. So our four guiding visionary principles as a church are living in and living out the manifest presence of God. In other words, being able to access heaven, that heaven accesses us and we manifest that around our lives in intimacy with God, both within and within heaven, helping people find and fulfill their destinies. That is what we're called to do, to help everyone here and everyone we're associated around the world to find and fulfill their destiny. Now, there's only a small group of people here, but there's 600 people around the world that we're actually helping to find and fulfill their destiny. So there's a wider perspective. There are 9 free-to-be statements, which I'll share in a minute. And the context of this is that we are in an apostolic resource center. We're called to be a center for resourcing apostolic ministry around the world. And that's the bigger picture that we've got to raise up a Joshua generation. So our free statements are free to know God. Every single person should be free to know God. And if there are things hindering you knowing God, then we have got a mandate to remove those hindrances. Free to see who God destined us to be. So to free to see our sonship from an eternal destiny perspective. And we've got a mandate to free people to do that. Free to be who God created us to be. Every single person here was created by God for a purpose. He's created you for a relationship with him as a son. Free to do what God has prepared for us to do, because we know who we are, not to try and get who we are. So we don't do things from a perspective of trying to get our identity from what we do. We do things because we know our identity as sons of God. And that's a totally different way of doing things. Free to go where God has destined us to go. And there's no limit to where you can go. You know, we used to think that meant, well, we might go to be missionaries somewhere else in the world. Actually, it means that we can go anywhere in this dimension and all the other dimensions that exist. And some of you have been to other dimensions in the realms of the spirit. So we're free. And if you're not free, we have a mandate to set you free, to engage heaven and beyond. So those are our sort of statements. These are our 7 mountains, our spheres of authority specifically. Good news, freedom, health, harmony, blessing, media, and enterprise. And we've been sharing this over the last year or so, and it's been great to see people come and share. I mean, I shared this in 2010, and everyone looked with blank faces, you know, because it was like, well, what do you mean, mountains? You know, because, you know, I'd been into heaven in 2010, and it was like, wow, look at all this stuff. Come out and start sharing it, and it's just like, what are you on about? You know, so it's been a long journey, 5 years, to get to a point where I saw these mountains, to seeing people on those mountains, functioning on those mountains. And I'm really thrilled by that. I mean, because it means I don't have to. And actually, God wouldn't let me. God would not let me on any of those mountains because they're for other people to administer. Because all we have to do is encourage people to go and get their blueprint for that mountain and then establish their 7 spheres. So for me, you know, today has been a long journey to see fulfillment and fruition of the things that God showed many, many years ago. And I've been blessed by that. So, you know, we have our DNA statement in Luke 4:18 or Isaiah 61. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed. And so we have now our 7 mountains with seven with people on those mountains in terms of government, in terms of benches, and we have those administrations to outwork. And some of those mountains have even got some of their other mountains, which, you know, I'm really thrilled about, because it's like, wow, we're going to see these things functioning. Now, if you are a mathematician and you work out how many people we need to be on seven mountains and seven mountains, it's quite a few. And so everyone here, you know, and beyond, we need to find people who are called to bring government to those areas. So what do these things do? Well, a bench of three, or a Beit Din in a Hebrew language, is a foundational floor to release others, provides apostolic and strategic direction and government, engages heaven and brings apostolic blueprints, operates in judicial authority to administer with righteousness and justice. Simply, it delegates authority. Well, it's like, come on, you've all heard this before. Come on. Delegating authority to others to release and enable them to fulfill their own personal destiny. That's what the Bench of Three does. It releases people to fulfill their destiny. Facilitates, which means to help and encourage, the release of ministry to enable the corporate destiny of the church to be expressed. So these ministries include the Bench of Seven, the Bench of 12, and those ruling from those seven mountains at the moment. There may be other things that God releases us to do. So the Bench of Seven, what do? Well, they exercise the delegated authority they've been given. It's governmental role. I know it's taken quite a long time to get to the fact that it's a governmental role, but it really is. You have authority been given to you, ensuring that the apostolic heavenly vision given to the church is outworked and developed, strategically supporting the church vision to ensure unity of hearts and minds so that everyone's operating in one accord, so that we can be one heart, one mind, and one purpose. Releasing revelation and ministry to help each person find and fulfill their destiny. Developing new ways of administering church activity from the heavenlies, rather than continually to try and do it in an earthly way, chasing your tails, putting out fires all the time. Because that's what we used to do. But when you go into heaven, you see a higher perspective. You see it from a different perspective. And you can bring, through court cases and through things we've learned to do governmentally, change on the earth. It involves the supervision and oversight of the public meetings, by providing welcome, protection, direction for the meetings, hence today. Communicating with the church regarding the notices, updates, events, prayer requests through public notices, emails, website. Coordinating any practical ministry that needs delivering through those who are equipped and trained in new ministry methods. Hence we have a ministry team and we're looking to do that. And we have an equipping track to help people on a revelatory rail, helping people grow in who they are and their identity and their purpose, and a ministry rail, helping people to be free so that they can fulfill what God's purpose is. And we're outworking this and delivering it. And again, it takes time. You know, we have departure stations that help people get on this track, and the track is empowered by God to bring people into their destiny. So we're looking new ways of ministry, and they have to be experiential. New ways of teaching, experiential. New ways of prayer, experiential. New ways of interceding, experiential. New, more effective ways of administrating the kingdom. They're heavenly ways, not earthly. So new ways of partnering with the angelic realm. And we have great testimonies of the angels and how we involve with the angels and the angelic realm, because they are ministering spirits sent to help us fulfill our destinies, individually, corporately. That's why we have many engagements with the angelic realm. And it's great when we hear testimonies of that. So these new ways are really to help everyone fulfill their destiny. God wants to encourage everyone here. Now, what I've shared is a pattern. It's not about the people. It's about the pattern of government. The people may change, you know, but the pattern will remain a heavenly reflection on earth. So even though we're going to recognize people today, we're recognizing those people in the pattern or position of government that we have. And we've already seen people changing positions and growing and developing. And ultimately, I'd want to see different people in every one of those positions. Because at the moment, people have to wear several different hats because we've not got enough people to fulfill all those roles individually. But God wants everyone to seek and search their hearts, to be willing to ask God, who am I? And what am I called to do? What is my destiny? What am I called to do? If you're part of the blueprint here, who has God called you to be in that blueprint? What is he calling you to express in terms of government? Because we're all governmental. Every one of us is sons of God to administer the kingdom. So when you see people coming forward and we're going to recognize those positions of government, don't think, oh, I haven't got a place. Actually think, yes, I have. What is it? You know, what are those mountains am I supposed to be administering with, serving God in, and whatever things that God's called you to deliver? So our blueprint is that, and we have the seven areas. We have our ministries that are looking to engage the community and the rest of the world, Shalom Ministries, Bench of 3, Bench of 7, 12. So our Bench of 12 actually is made up of, and you think, well, where does the Bench of 12 come in? Well, you have the 12 apostles and the 12 tribes, and 12 is the fullness of government. We have it's made up of the Bench of 3. The Angel of the House is the representation of the Bench of 7, one from each of the seven mountains and one from our externals, from all ministries. That makes up the Bench of 12. And we carry the sort of overall government, and we engage in heaven, and we do court cases, and we get judicial and legislative things so that we can release people to fulfill their purpose and destiny. You know, we're foundational for what God is doing to release people. Now, Rick Joyner said this, one of the greatest yokes of bondage enslaving the human race is called the tyranny of the familiar. It is the universal human temptation to cling to familiar regardless of how bad or painful it may be. Now, some of you who are trying to be set free know what that's like. You know, it's like you carry on doing the same old things even though it's bad for you. You know, but when people resist change, it stops them growing. Now, regardless of how promising things may look, if you keep to the old, you're going to be still getting the results that the old brings. You know, that's Einstein's definition of insanity. You know, keep doing the same old thing, looking for different results. It doesn't work. You have to do something new, which is why God is calling us to establish new government, a new way of the kingdom being manifested and how it outworks. God would rather have an amateur in the new thing than a professional in the old thing. David Wagner said that. And I believe that is really, really significant, because essentially, we've been pioneers and forerunners, and we've had no book or map to follow. And pioneers blaze a trail and open doors and make a way. And that's part of our destiny as a people, is to do that for others to follow. And many people are now beginning to follow. And there are other pioneers and trailblazers out there, looking to forge a way for others to go further and higher and farther than we've ever been before. So we have to be perseverant, patient, and persistent. Now, I wouldn't say that would have always been my characteristics. Now, I wanted to do things now, because I see it now. And prophetic people and apostolic people like that. You see it now and you want it now. So I had to learn to be perseverant and patient and persistent over the last 10 years in bringing these things about. But you have to have a new wineskin for new wine. Jesus said it. And he wants to pour out a whole lot of new wine, and he's wanting new wineskins to be ready for it. This has been a long, hard journey. And for those of you who've been on the journey all this time, you know that. But it's great to be here today. So when the government of heaven is in place, God will come and fill that shadow with his blueprint. He will fill it. God will fill the house with glory. He's going to fill his church with a new dimension of authority and power that we've never, ever seen before. It's going to go way beyond what they had in the New Testament church, right back to what Adam would have had if he hadn't have fallen, which is exciting. Heaven will overlap earth again. The kingdom of God will be manifested on earth as it is in heaven. Now, we're going to have a coronation, if you like. We're not going to do this in a very ostentatious way, because that's not what we're like. So we're just going to do this publicly to recognize people in those positions of authority that we have, so that the enthronement that's already taken place in heaven is going to be recognized on the earth. So we're going to recognize Bench of 3, Bench of 7, Bench of 12, and the seven mountain benches, and any others who are on their mountain benches, which I'm not up to date with all that, but I'm sure you'll know who you are. So the Bench of 3 is Nigel, Becky, and myself. Bench of 7 is Joe Hill, who's the Angel of the House, Deb, Joe Lane, Graham, Valtrout, Hazel, and Dan. Now, it's great to have a full complement of the seven and the three and Bench of 12. We've got a full complement, which is Nigel again, myself, and Becky. Jeremy, who is representative of the Freedom Apostolic Resources. Jeremy's going far, because Freedom Apostolic Resources is going far. It is. Joe Hill, who's representative of the base of seven, Bench of 7. Deb, Good News Mountain. Graham, Freedom Mountain. Jan, Healing Mountain. Alice, the Harmony Mountain. Joe Lane, Blessing Mountain. Valtrout, the Media Mountain. And Dave, the Enterprise Mountain. That makes up the bench of 12. And then you have the 7 mountain benches. Good news. It's Deb, Carol, and Emma. Freedom, Graham, Dan, Hazel, and I think Mick and Tracy are on mountains of their mountains. Health, Jan, Pat, and Janet. Harmony, Alice, Sam, and Karen. Blessing, Jo, Lane, and Trish. I'm not sure if you've got anyone else yet. Nope, not yet. So there's a vacancy on the Blessing Mountain. Go and talk to Jo when you sort God, whether you're on a part of it. Medium Mountain, Jeremy and Valtrout. Again, there's a vacancy there for someone else to fulfill that 3. And the Enterprise Mountain, Nigel, Dave, and Joe Hill. So those are all the people that we want to see who are filling those positions and pattern of government, you know, and I'm really excited about that. You know, it has been a long journey, but it's been a worthwhile one because we've learned. And some of the things that I'm doing around the world, I'm engaging with leadership groups, people who are looking to transition churches and groups into this new order of things, and they're needing help. Now, we've made all the mistakes possible, probably, you know, along the way, so we can help them not to make the same mistakes that we've made. You know, and that's what forerunners do. You know, you pave a way, and it's hard, but you open a way for more and more people to come. People pave the way for us to come this way. Now we're paving the way for others to come, and they're going to pave the way for others to come because God wants to establish the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Okay, so I want to encourage, I have no idea how we're going to do this, but we didn't get that far. we're going to do it. But in a sense, all we want to do is just recognize what's already taken place in heaven so that we can just outwork this so that you will recognize who those people are, and then we can then begin to engage that.